We continue the Shir Sicha in Sanan. Ben is all saying we are now on paragraph Chof Aleph 21. We've covered 20 so far, Baruch Hashem. Every one of these sayings, of course, are gems. We cannot really elaborate on them properly. The Ben is all said, though, every person is permitted to learn his words in as much or as little depth as he can. As much as we learn now, we hope that it's Hashem, Elam Haba, will be zechut to understand much more. Ben Adol says in this statement that Rosh Hashanah is the main holiday of the year in the eyes of the Tzaddik Emes, in the eyes of Ben Adol, meaning that those who are attached to Ben Adol can gain more on Rosh Hashanah than any other time of the year. Those who come to the Ben Azal's minyan, Ben Azal's kibbutz, the assembly, can gain much more than any other time. Because of the fact that Rosh Hashanah is the most important time of the year, a person should be very wise, at least to the best of his ability, to use his mind during Rosh Hashanah for a good cause. Good cause is to concentrate his mind on the fact, the machshava, the thought should be like a tefillah, like a prayer itself. The thought should be a tefillah to concentrate, to bring about a Yeshua, a victory for the Jews from heaven on this day of judgment. It's a time when everything occurs. Decisions are made in heaven for every individual, for every nation collectively, so that a person, through deep concentration, can affect a cure and a Yeshua, a victory from heaven on that day. A person who thinks deeply is the same as though he davens deeply. He attaches his mind to heaven and, in a sense, can actually become part of the heavenly tribunal. He becomes like a judge on that court and can make decisions. Just as a person who davens, whose tefillah alone can affect a heavenly decision. Especially if he becomes attached closely to the Tzaddik Emes on that day, and as the fact is, the Tzaddik Emes not only davens, but also can decree. He can make a statement, he can dictate, and Kaviyachol Hashem fulfills. So a person attached to the Tzaddik Emes, besides davening, also uses his machshava. What's important about the machshava is that, in effect, in the level of kedusha, machshava thought is even higher than tefillah, because tefillah is bepeh malchus. Machshava is the chachma, which at the same time, Ben Adol says, must be. The catch is it must be besimcha. The word machshava is the letters besimcha, exactly the same letters, and therefore, using the machshava as Hashanah means a person should be besimcha then to feel that though this is the day of judgment, though his life hangs in the balance, on this day there is written down and inscribed in the book of life and health, there is inscribed this person's name, the decision is made to which book he'll be in, despite the danger, the jeopardy he is in, still he is besimcha, and with this simcha he can have the heavenly decree changed. In addition, Ben Adol says a person should see to it that he sheds tears on the Shoshana. You don't just daven, but you put your heart into it, because machshava too is belief in the heart. Concentrate with the heart, and a person should cry in the deep recesses of his heart. In fact, we mentioned once that Izal states clearly that on the Shoshana, the day of judgment, a person should cry during davening. If he does, it shows that he has a soft, good heart. If he does not cry, it's a bad sign, Chas v'Shalom. It shows that he has a heart of stone. A heart of stone, a heart that is harsh and inflexible, is the exact opposite of Breslov. Because the opposite of a lev evan, a heart of stone, is lev bosa, or a heart of flesh. Lev bosa is the letters Breslov. And this is what the Rizal says. Rizal, of course, naturally was a Breslover. The Rizal said that a person on Rosh Hashanah, again, the most important day, should cry And this shows a softness of heart, and this shows that his tefillah is being accepted. Also, Rav Elazar said, and this is something which is taken very seriously by the followers of Rav Elazar, and on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, a person should be wise in that he keeps his mouth shut. A person should speak as little as possible on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. First day, of course, is Dina Kashya. It's the harsher one of the Dinim. He keeps his mouth closed. He does not speak words that are unnecessary. Of course, it is open to daven. It's open to learn. But not to speak to any person, any words that are unnecessary. And then he becomes a whole keli, a pure vessel filled with pure thoughts, without wrong deeds, without wrong words. He completes himself. Rav Elazar says the greater the person is, the less he should speak. And therefore, Rav Elazar himself was medactic, particular. On Rosh Hashanah, he did not even say a piyut. Parts of the davening that are added on Rosh Hashanah, he skipped those parts. He considered that as superfluous. The only parts that he said were those that were composed by Rav Elazar HaKalia. Eliezer HaKalir or Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, one of the two Tezos says that this is possibly Rabbi Shimon Yochai's son who composed these payet, the bits that are added during the tefillah. These are said, of course, by the Ashkenazim. Sephardim don't have that in their Machsa, but it is not for us to skip that payet. Eliezer was so great at tzaddik, he could skip most of it and say only the selected parts. For us, it is better, of course, to say everything that is written in the Machzor, but to speak as little as possible. Therefore, there is an excellent custom, wonderful custom by most of the Breslava, that on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, they declare a Tainus Dibur. Just as there is a fast, people do not eat, so is there a Tainus Dibur, people fast from speech. They go through the entire period, from the night of Rosh Hashanah beginning until the second night, until after Marv the second night, without saying a word. It is as though they cannot speak. They are stricken dumb. And this, of course, is better even than a fast from food. This is following the advice of Rav Elazar, ashrei to the person who can fulfill it. It's good to mention, noteworthy to mention, just give credit where credit is due, the Sephardim have regular fast days of Dibur during the year. This is a wonderful item. It is certainly advisable for any person that can do that. Because to fast from speech, just as fasting from food, Rav Elazar says, is the best cure, the best nourishment for the soul. The less the body eats, the more the soul is nourished. The more the body gorges itself, the more it's subtracted from the soul, so too, and much more so, the more words that a person speaks that he's not supposed to. Words, of course, does not mean words of Teilah and Tefillah. Regular words, the word of Metelon or Divinei Chayil, those words are taken from the Kayach, the power of the Neshama, of the Nefesh. The Nefesh is the power of speech, Nafsho Malva. But a person who refrains from speaking gives that much more power to the nefesh, to the neshama. So especially then on the holiest day of the year, the Shoshana, the day of judgment, the day in which a person's fate is decided for the rest of the year, and of course it is very advisable to give more strength to the neshama, that the neshama shall be healthy for the entire coming year. Menadol says now in the next statement, it is very good means it is far above our conception, far above any other thing that the person can find that is good in this world, is a person to be zecher, to be very closely attached to the tzaddik emes. To be closely attached means to become part of the tzaddik emes. Closely attached means that a person should be actually part of the tzaddik emes, to merge into one, to become one with the tzaddik emes, meaning that the tzaddik emes should consider him as part of himself. And why is this so important, aside from other considerations? Rav Elazar says, because there will come a time, this is a revelation, there will come a time when this world will come to an end, when it will come to a frightening end, to a certain degree. What will happen then will be something resembling an earthquake, a very serious universal earthquake, where the entire world will be shaken up. Now, there is a pasuk, Le'echoiz bekanfei sa'aretz. The pasuk says, Hashem will take hold of the corners of the earth, and the yin aru rishoyim imena. The rishoyim, the wicked, will be shaken off. He'll shake up the earth, the globe, and the rishoyim, who cling to the earth, will be forced to leave their grasp, let go of the earth, and fall off into their doom. This will take place in whatever form Hashem will do it. Of course, we say holding on to the corners of the earth. This is a very important point which you don't have time to discuss now, but it is discussed in Kabbalah when we say that the world is round, yet the word kanfes is used, corners. Corners generally means something which is square. In fact, the Zohar Kodesh says the world is round, and the Zohar Kodesh is written before Columbus was born. So that we knew, the Gemara too mentions very clearly that the world is kaduri, round, in a sense oval shape, so that there actually would seem there are no corners. Yet there is something about the world having corners. In other words, the roundness of the earth is not actually smooth. There are points to the earth, places where one could grasp hold of it, theoretically speaking. Someday we'll take the topic more in detail, explaining the difference of kanfes, because this refers to the union of tzitzis and the union of mesif. Now this here, the Ben Adol says that the time will come, Hashem will take hold of the earth and will shake it up so that the people who are wicked will fall off the earth. That means they'll be destroyed. However, one who is zechet to be mikudav, close to a tzaddik emes, and will hold on tightly to the tzaddik emes, that person will remain in perfect condition. He will not be shaken off at all with the wicked, since he holds on to the tzaddik emes, who cannot be shaken off because the tzaddik emes is the foundation of the earth itself. Tzaddik yisoy deilam, he is the world itself. Therefore, one holding on to the tzaddik emes that close will remain unshaken and will remain in perfect condition. Kayim. The Nosanzal once, hearing this, said to the Benazal, how does one remain? I'd like to be close to you. Benazal said, I have you already. I've put you into a sack. I've already captured you as mine. Nosanzal cried out to the Benazal, please tie that sack so tightly I couldn't get out. Because as long as a person is alive, person walks a very tight rope. Even those who think that they have perfect faith, perfect emunah in Hashem, emunah in the Torah, emunah in the tzaddik emes, they think so. And yet a time comes, as for shalom, many people who've got this alleged, seemingly solid faith, and suddenly they become weak. And suddenly they drop chasashon. They drop their belief. They even drop their religion. They fall away. You've seen this happen very often, these casualties in this war. Life is a constant war with the Satan, with the Yetzer Hara, with the angel of evil. In this battle, there are many casualties. Woe is to that person who is a casualty during his lifetime. That means he falls away. He was sure of himself, but found later that he was not that strong. He did not fight hard enough. He let himself go. He fell into a lethargy, a semi-stupor, asleep, and he was taken up, defeated by the Satan. Ashrei, fortunate, blessed is that person who remains solid in his stand against the Satan, whose emunah and faith is unwavering. There are not many whose emunah is that pure. Ashrei to those who are, and of course, the basis, the yisoid emunah, is the yisoid tzaddik. Persons mekudav to the tzaddik emes stands a much better chance of retaining his solid faith in the Torah and Hashem. Even then, even with that, person must fight constantly this battle against becoming weak in his faith. There are many forces against him. Abinazal explains that the tzaddik emes is like a magnet. He has a magnetic force that draws a person to him. Very simple. If you let your mind go, you don't battle it, you'll find yourself drawn to the good side. But then, there is the koyach hamachriach, the repelling force. Against the magnetic force, there's a repelling force that draws a person away from Kedusha, away from the Tzadik Emes, away from the Beis HaMikdash, which is called the Mishkan. Mishkan is Meshech, Moshchini, the magnetic force of the Mishkan, which draws all things that are holy to it. This koyach hamachriach, the opposite repelling force, are in most cases, not just the Malach himself, Satan, but are individual people who themselves are atheists and skeptics and reforms and all types of poisoned minds who cannot sit still, who work on trying to draw people away from faith, Chas v'Shalom. And this is the constant battle a person must go through, to repel this repelling force and to allow himself to be taken closer to the Tzadik Emes through the holy magnetic force. Therefore, the Ben Adol says, Tamiya, it is very good, one who is Zeche. It's a very big schus, a very big privilege for a person to be Zeche, to be really and truly close to and tied to the Tzadik Emes. A person can accomplish this if he remains alert throughout his lifetime. Never let yourself fall into a semi-sleep, because if you stop concentrating for a minute, then that might be the trap the Satan is looking for. This is a call for alertness. A person should always remember this point. This is the aside, this is the foundation upon which a person's life as a Jew in religion is based. Next statement of Israel says, there is the item characteristic of pity. A person has pity on those who are unfortunate, those who are stricken with poverty, with sickness, and those, of course, who suffer various types of yesudim, suffering, misfortune of any kind, which this world is filled with. Very few in this world really enjoy this Elam Hazeh. So a person seeing all this suffering, and all the pity there is on those who suffer, tries his best to exclude himself from the group of sufferers. He strives day and night to become wealthy, to acquire a lot of good fortune so he can be independent and not to have to go through the suffering of the layman, of the peasant type of people, the lower class. What does a person do? He has pity on himself too. He doesn't want himself to fall into this lower category. But he forgets that if there is rachmonis, pity on those who are unfortunate in this world, imagine the pity there is on those who are suffering poverty in the future world in heaven. What kind of poverty exists there? Poverty means person who lacks food and one who lacks clothing. Person here is destitute. He's very poor, abject poverty. Then he could be helped, because at worst, you give him a few cents, he can buy some food and drink. He won't starve to death. At worst, you can collect old clothes for him. He doesn't have to go there. He can still put on some type of clothing. But there, Rabbi Nadal says, and Rabbi Nadal, of course, is the greatest expert in the true knowledge of what's doing in Olam Haba, in heaven. After a person passes away and he comes to heaven, there in heaven, there are people too who are starving and who go completely bare of clothing. On them, it is the greatest pity, yet it is impossible to have pity upon them. Meaning it's impossible to help them. It's too late for them. These people who go there without clothes, there's no way to make collections for them, to buy them new clothes, because there's no way to have pity. And we know that as a fact, even from the name of Hashem. Hashem, the 13 characteristics, the meanings of Hashem, Kiel Rachum, Bechanan, Hashem, the merciful, the kind, the pitiful. Hashem, who has so much kindness that he's willing to overlook all the transgressions and crimes that a person can accumulate in a lifetime if a person repents. There is no limit to the infinite mercy of Hashem. But that mercy, Hashem of mercy, is only while a person is alive. The moment the person passes away, that mercy comes to an end. Then there is Hashem of vengeance, and Hashem who pays. Hashem pays reward to the tzaddik, Hashem avenges the evil acts of the wicked. There's no mercy or kindness in the heavenly court at all. There it is purely din. In heaven, the halacha is like Beshamai, we follow the din, and not the chesed, not the kindness of rachman, pity. So there, it's impossible to have pity on a person who has no clothes or has no food. Abinazal explains what is meant by no clothes and no food. Because there, if a person tries to give someone assistance, they see a neshama who's bare of clothes. And these neshamas who lie there outside of the inner circle, outside of the gates of Gan Eden. They lie there screaming, very bitter scream, give us something to eat. And others come to them and say, here's food and drink. Eat to your fullest content. And these poor souls reply, no, no, definitely not. This is not the food that we want. We need the food and drink of Teda and Tefillah. Teda is food, Chu'ichlu Malachmi of Teda, and drink is Tefillah. This is what we are lacking. We have not accumulated enough, we have not learned enough Teda during our lifetime, and if we haven't got Teda and Tefillah in our lifetime, we don't have the food and drink that is necessary in heaven. The spiritual food and drink that a person can acquire only through Teda and Tefillah. So too there are people lying in heaven freezing without the neshama that's bare of clothes. And they scream in pain, give us something to cover ourselves with. Because there is no greater pain or suffering, worse than the fires of Gehenna, is the suffering of embarrassment. There's nothing greater than a person being embarrassed, chas v'shalom, before the entire heavenly realm. They say we are so embarrassed with our clothes, give us something to cover ourselves. And some people come to them and say, here's a load of clothes, all types, the best clothes. And they cry out, we cannot use these clothes. What we need are clothes that are created through mitzvahs and good deeds only. A person cloaks himself in heaven with the mitzvahs and good deeds he's done during his lifetime. Therefore, Abinadab says there is no way to help these people. One who is left there, unclothed, there, without food, without clothes, woe is to that soul who is so barren, so isolated, and suffers continuously. Again, Abinadab says, unless there is an exception. No one can help that person. You cannot offer him clothes because that's not the clothes he needs. You cannot offer him teda and mitzvahs. You cannot offer him maisim tevim, good deeds, because that's only possible to acquire during his lifetime here. But again, there is one who has this unusual power, this heavenly power. This is the Tzadik Emes. The Tzadik Emes, the key to it is, if a person during his lifetime has had this solid emunah, this faith in the Tzadik Emes, to the point where he actually merged with the Tzadik Emes. Merged means they became one. One means one mind only. And that is the mind of the tzaddik. The person says, I have no thought of my own, I have no mind of my own, I have no opinion of my own. I accept completely, implicitly the words of the tzaddik emes. Without question at all, this is what's meant by merging and becoming one. A person like that, the tzaddik has the right, the privilege, the power in heaven to give of his own clothes, the many he possesses, to give of his own clothes, his own food and drink to those that are part of him. So in heaven, there too, one who is zecha to become close to a tzaddik emes can then run to this tzaddik emes and receive from him a cloak to cover himself, to clothe himself, and thereby completely avoid, as is shown, the worst type of suffering, the embarrassment there. Also to receive the teda and mitzvahs, teda and tefillah, which will give him nourishment in the heavenly realm. Beinadal says still, ashrei to that person who is zecha on this earth to prepare himself. You need food, ashrei to those who are zecha to eat. Chapters of Mishnayos, Gemara. Those who are zecha to drink afterwards, chapters of Tehillim, Psalms of King David. Those who are zecha to cloak themselves with mitzvahs. A person at times is very particular about the suit he buys, about the coat he buys. It must be the right style the right color, the right fit. He's very meticulous about the different details in the garments. He goes to a special store where they have many floors. He can choose from different rooms. Luxurious clothes, the texture, the fabric must be exact. He doesn't think that there's a different type of garment that's much more important. Pair yourself with a garment that's exact when you do a mitzvah. You're particular about the mitzvah. You see that you get tefillin that are just so. You get tzitzis that are the right size. You get mezuzahs, which are not the run-of-the-mill mezuzahs, but one that's carefully inspected by the right type of expert. You do mitzvahs when you sit and learn with a hasmoda, with a relish, with a thirst. These mitzvahs are the kind that prepare a person with the nourishment and clothes that are necessary in Olam Haba. To crown all this, in addition, with a solid emuna that tzaddik emes, that person then knows that he has something to look forward to forever afterwards. Now in his Zayde Kodesh, on this same topic we find, Zayde Kodesh says that it's mentioned too in the Gemara, very lightly, that there is more than one Gan Eden. There is a Gan Eden below, there is a Gan Eden above, just as there is a Gehenna below and a Gehenna above. Below and above, of course, still means not the physical world. Below means the spiritual world, but there is a low spiritual world, there is an upper spiritual world, just as there is a Shekhinah below, a Shekhinah above. Just as the letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, the first letter He stands for Bina, which is an upper world, Elam HaBriya. Last letter He is the Elam HaSiya, lower world, two levels of the Spirit of Hashem. So too, in all of Kedusha, you find the different levels, so that there is a Gan Eden below this Elam HaSiya, naturally a spiritual world, one made for spirits, made for the nefesh, lower part of the soul. There is a Gan Eden, an upper Gan Eden, for the upper part of the soul. Now these Gan Edens for a person to get to, again it requires that he goes, requires special kind of dress. You have exclusive places where people enter that require you to be dressed with special type of clothes, formal clothes, dress that is fit for a higher class of people. Certain type of garment is necessary too in this Gan Eden. The lower Gan Eden requires a garment that is made of mitzvahs, maaseis, deeds. Just as we find in the Sfidus, the 10 Sfidus correspond, two divisions are the three upper ones, Gimel Elyonim, correspond to the mind, different parts of the brain, the Zayin Tachtena, the seven lower ones, correspond to the body or the organs of action, deeds. Therefore, the lower Gan Eden, in order to receive a malbush, a garment there, requires mitzvahs that are done with action. The upper Gan Eden, a person is zechah to get to the upper Gan Eden, there to have a malbush requires mitzvahs that are done with a person's mind. A person's mind means mitzvahs that are done with emuna, thoughts of emuna. Thoughts above all, the Zayde Kodesh says, of kisufin. Kisufin means a person who craves. He craves to become pure, to become closer to Hashem. He has a strong desire that propels him, it leads him on, it drives him on to do more mitzvahs, even if he does not succeed, but that driving force, compelling force in a person's mind, the desire itself is the most precious item of the nekudas hakesef. The soul itself is created and strengthened, and this kesef, the silver which is pure, white, pure, which means kisufim is desire, this craving desire for kedusha, for holiness. This desire alone, there's no action involved, just desire alone, creates a garment that is much purer, much higher than the garment created by mitzvahs itself. This is the malbush that's needed for the Gan Eden Ha'ayin, the highest Gan Eden in which the great tzaddikim enter. They received their garments, their admission, through this kisufim. The HaKadosh said that with all the struggle that he had in life to reach that highest point possible, where he could actually visit the highest realm of heavens, above the Elam HaTzilus, the greatest single item that helped him to rise to this highest point was this kisufim, this desire, and the simcha, done with simcha, with the happy thought that he is able to serve Hashem. He's able to strive to want to serve Hashem. That's why we speak about the most important moment that exists. Shabbos afternoon, the moment of the Yistalkus of Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Daivon and Ivan. Ratzayin Shabbat Tzayinus. The desire of desires, the strongest point of desire, the person comes so close that with desire alone he can actually become part of body and soul merging to one, to become part of the Shekhinah again. Now, of course, Zohar Kodesh adds to this point that to explain a little what's meant by the garment of heaven, a person wearing a garment of heaven. Why does a person need a heavenly garment? Zohar Kodesh says, very simply, we know that the twain shall never meet. You cannot have heaven and earth meet or become one. There is a definite difference between the spiritual and the physical. Now, for example, the angels in heaven are spiritual. As far as we are concerned, they are invisible. We cannot really describe the looks, the appearance of an angel in heaven. Something which is invisible, spiritual, cannot be described in a physical term. And yet there are times when these angels in heaven descend to earth. For example, Eliyahu HaNavi. Other types of angels. Or, let's even say, the case of the Zohar Kodesh tells of Tzaddikim. Those Tzaddikim who passed away, went to Gan Eden, and came back to earth to visit, for various reasons. Many Tzaddikim mention the Zohar Kodesh, or even the Gemara. When they come to earth to visit, even Eliyahu HaNavi himself, when they come to earth, it is impossible for them, any one of them, to come down to earth in a spiritual form, in the same form as they are in heaven. That is an impossibility. When they move to this dimension of earth, physical, they must guard themselves with a physical mulbush, physical cloak, which means a body. You cannot have an angel appearing here on earth in an angelic form. And that's why, this is the secret and the words, the truth, about the words of Yaakov Avinu, Vayeovek Ish Imoi. Yaakov Avinu wrestled with an angel. It says Yaakov Ish. Ish means a male, a man, a physical person. The angel came in the form of a physical person. What did Yaakov Avinu see? He saw a man, not an angel. The angel came in this form because he could not come to earth. He could not materialize unless he was in the cloak of a man. Same thing too. A person who is Zecha, decided going to heaven, cannot rise to heaven in his physical form. This was the reason why Eliyahu HaNavi, when the time came for him to pass away, not to die, but to leave earth and go to heaven temporarily, because he was destined to come down to earth constantly to visit, to appear at the homes of Tzaddikim, many times as I mentioned in Gemara, and of course, the case of a bris, every bris has Eliyahu HaNavi there. In that case, then, he had to retain his body, his physical body. And he could not be buried on earth. There was no burial for him. So what was to be done with that body? Zohar Kodesh says that's why he went into a fiery chariot, a chariot of fire, which when it rose upwards and it came to a certain part of the stratosphere or beyond, before it came to the heavens, the fire burnt away the physical part of the body and released the neshama, the soul. It did not destroy that body, though it just separated the two. That body remained suspended somewhere, not in earth, of course, but just at this dividing point. And whenever there is a descent by Eliyahu HaNavi, he first cloaks himself in this physical body and then comes to earth. He cannot appear on earth without the physical form, as can no angel. And therefore we can understand now that when a person, a tzaddik, goes to heaven, then no matter who the tzaddik is, in the case of the Arizal, where he's told that he visited heaven so often, the Baal Shem Tov, who visited heaven constantly, when he came to heaven, he did not come in his physical form. We read stories about him going through the different various parts of heavens or Gan Eden. He was not there in a physical form. That is impossible. Nothing physical can ever reach the heavens. There had to be this separation where the soul left the body, to a degree, of course, leaving over a slight part of the Kista de Chiyusa. A small percentage of the soul remains in the body to keep it still alive. It is not dead yet. And the main part of the soul rises up to heaven, and that's the part that visits heaven. And it must be in the form of a soul, and there, the Zohar Kodesh says before it enters to heaven, it must cloak itself in the heavenly garb. So this is what's meant by the necessity for the mitzvahs, Meisim Tevim, Teda and Tefillah, for a person to be zechah to have this, these clothes, and nourishment. That's what the Ben Azal said, Ashrei to the person who eats and drinks and cloaks himself in Teda and Tefillah and mitzvahs. Ashrei to that person of zechah to ensure a definite success in heaven by his merging, his being a kuda, mikusha to the tzaddik emes. Melo says, too, that aside from becoming merged with the tzaddik emes, there is an unusual, priceless value, privilege, in one who is zechad to give money to the tzaddik emes. It is so great and so precious that it's immeasurable. Now, we know that money itself can buy a lot of things. Money can buy a great deal, but money cannot really buy spiritual. Money, of course, with stock a person can do mitzvahs. But you can't buy your way to Gan Eden. You cannot buy a room in Gan Eden for a certain price. You cannot buy off, bribe, you cannot bribe a judge, an honest judge, you surely cannot bribe a tzaddik. How can you give a tzaddik money and thereby bribe him to accept you as one of his? In a form that would sensibly be a form of bribe. Benel says that to give money to a tzaddik emes, factually, is so great a privilege, so great an accomplishment, that the person then deserves not just the thanks of the tzaddik emes, he deserves a very special commendation from heaven, from Hashem. Because kaviyachol, that means if we're allowed to use that term, kaviyachol, he is actually, in a sense, doing a favor to both Hashem and the tzaddik emes, by giving the tzaddik emes money. Benel explains this in a sense, in a mushal. There is a king and a prince, a father and son, who are estranged, are very distant from each other, and they both simultaneously have that, struck with that sudden feeling of longing and yearning for each other. They both begin to travel towards each other, and they cannot travel fast enough, because there's a limit to how much speed they can make. And in this traveling, the closer they become, the stronger the yearning becomes too, until they feel they may actually pass out or pass away from the strong desire. It's as though their soul wants to leave them with desire. Then they realize that what is the sense of going to such a risk with the strong desire that may cause death possibly. They decide then that they have other things to do. The king says, I have other business to take care of. The son says, let me take care of other things too. This desire is overwhelming, and it's dangerous. So I'll forget about this. There isn't the chance of getting close to my father in time before I pass away. Let's forget about it. Suddenly, along comes a person with a flying chariot, picks up the son, puts him on his wagon, and flies at tremendous speed and brings him close to the father. So quickly that he's shocked by the speed. He finds himself suddenly in the arms of his father. Imagine the reward that is due for this person from the king, the thanks from the son, the prince, because he has brought these two together, who thought that it was impossible. Benel says that here too, the tzaddik has this yearning for Hashem, to get close to Hashem. He keeps moving closer, and the closer he becomes, you have to understand that the kisufim alone are enough. When the soul desires to become part of the spiritual, there is always the danger of a person is having his soul leave him. Now, for example, you have the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema means you say Shema Yisrael, and the true mitzvah is a person is supposed to think, imagine, actually at the time, enact this, feel that he's about to die for the sake of his faith in Hashem. This is the true way of saying Shema Yisrael. You have to Hashem lekech, you should love Hashem b'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshcha, with your whole heart and with your soul, your life. And even though my life is taken, I still have this implicit faith in Hashem. The true Kriya Shema is to say this with such a feeling, a fervency, as though you're about to die for your religion, for your faith. Now, a tzaddik who says that with a true feeling, Menahel says there is always a danger that his soul just might leave him because he might feel the the actual experience of death and accept it gladly, and this would stop his life. And of course, it is not worth losing his life, and he could continue to serve Hashem later. So the tzaddik feels this too at this time of yearning, that there is a barrier between himself and Hashem. He cannot get close enough for various reasons, obstacles that are in the way, but his desire is so strong that he feels there is a danger. Why spend time with the desire alone? Let me do other mitzvahs instead. Let me concentrate on learning Torah, on davening, on putting on tefillin, doing other mitzvahs. Hashem, too, Kaviyachal, has this desire for the tzaddik to stay close to him. And Hashem sees that, of course, Hashem is all-powerful, but he does not use his power against the privilege given to human beings, the free choice. So Hashem says, I want the tzaddikim as close to me too, but it's, in a sense, it's that difficult that we'll have to leave it go for a while. Let me take care of my other items that I'm occupied with. I have a whole world to conduct, to take care of, to mashgiach over. A realm of heaven, countless angels. Why only the tzaddik emes? Kaviyachal, of course, this is a very delicate topic. It's difficult to speak about this in the physical sense. Now, along comes this person and gives the tzaddik emes a large amount of money, which removes any possible barrier, physical barrier that he has. He's got problems with his family, he's got financial problems, he's got health problems which require money to soothe. When this money is given to the tzaddik emes, all the barriers are removed. He's free then to soar upwards and come close to Hashem quickly. This person who has done this mitzvah, imagine what kind of reward he receives from Hashem. You have brought my most desirable son close to me. Imagine the schar there is for that. Now again, the mushal, the nimshal, the example given, the nimshal, what this stands for, is something that we cannot really explain in the physical sense. We can explain what's meant by Hashem having this strong desire, by the tzaddik having this yearning, which cannot become materialized till there is money given. Though we do not understand this in a full sense, but we do understand and know. Benazal's words about the importance of giving money to the tzaddik emes is that great, and it does somehow actually bring the tzaddik emes closer to Hashem. And imagine that when a person can do something for the tzaddik emes, kaviyachal for Hashem, what that person is accomplishing. So in this case, then, we know there are mitzvahs that are far beyond our conception and importance. It's our duty only to accept them with faith. It is that important, ashrei to those who are zecha to give money then. That's why we can now understand the words of Rabbi Koch of Leivzal, who said that the mitzvah of tzedakah is immense, one of the most important mitzvahs of the Torah, one of the basic mitzvahs of a Jew. And yet, the mitzvah of tzedakah is so diversified that a person who has money can sometimes squander it wrongly. Give to the wrong kind of tzedakah, you don't gain, you lose. The Gemara says there's a curse upon some people that they are given a lot of wealth, and they are cursed from heaven that their wealth goes to the wrong place, even when they intend to give tzedakah. That person who is zechut to find the right place for tzedakah to the tzaddik emes, with a little bit can accomplish much more than those with a tremendous amount. Koch Leizal said that if you know, you understand the value of tzedakah to the tzaddik emes, know how to invest this. Ashrei to that person who can invest for the sake of the tzaddik emes, the yeshiva the tzaddik emes, the sfarim the tzaddik emes, the teda the tzaddik emes, much more, infinitely more than any other type of tzedakah out. This is what is revealed to us, and this is what we should be zechut to fulfill. All these words of advice that Rabbeinu Zal, if we are zechut to fulfill them, then surely we'll be deserving of the brachas mentioned in the Torah by Rabbeinu Zal, especially to be deserving of seeing the coming of the tzaddik emes himself together with Mashiach Tzidkenu, Benya Beis Mikdash from Heda, in this month of Nisan, the month in which we are promised will come forth the Gula Shlema. We'll see with our eyes the rebuilding of the Beis Mikdash, the downfall and destruction of all the enemies of the Jews, and the rebirth of the Jews as a nation under Hashem. Amen. Amen.